Is there skills required for that?
Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. And tonight we have a guest. It's Joey of Steel Blade Woodworks. What's going on, boys?
How's it going, everyone?
How are you? We're going to start this episode off by thanking our sponsors. I'll take the time to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com, you could save 10% on your entire order by using code WH. Go there, get all your carving discs and burrs, and get carving. I use them. You should, too.
And I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives, steels, tools, and more. And I'm going to, why am I stumbling over this one today? Save on shipping by getting everything in one supplier. And you can find Lawrence at maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca.
Definitely support him. He's
good dude.
A good guy. What is going on, Joey?
Oh, just a good old Sunday, you know. Have some kiddos sick and had to take some one of them to the emergency room, but they're doing good. Just had to get that out of the way. Being dad, let's just say, so I didn't get a whole lot of time in the shop today just now. And I was thinking of turning the printers on, and then I said no, because then Keith's going to yell at me if I do it.
Absolutely, I will.
So I'm like, well, I guess I'll just sit here and, you know, watch some football, and that was pretty irritating.
No skilled labor for Joey today.
No. Maybe after this is done, I'll turn them on, let them run through the night. But
How many 3D printers you got now?
What am I up to? Like 14, I think. But a few of them are going to go away now that I've replaced them with the bamboo. So
14. Wow.
Yeah. I've got one on the way. I'm kind of excited to get that one, see what it does. But yeah.
So for the listeners that don't know Joey, Joey is from Steel Blade Woodworks, but he does 3D printing.
Well, I do some stuff out there in the shop. Keith, come on. But this is just so much easier. You know, it's just laid back in here. I get to do some designing, and by the stroke of a key, it does all the work for me, you know?
Yeah.
There you go.
I hear you.
Instead of, you know, usually I'll stick in here during the summer and I'll just make excuses why I can't get out in the shop because it's so hot. So I just kind of stick here. And then in the winter, it's too cold. So that's why I never get anything done out there because I'm always stuck in here. So, yeah, eventually I got a lot of stuff to do out there. I've had 3 weeks of vacation. This is my third week. And every time I come in the shop in the morning, I'm like, I didn't get none of that accomplished that I wanted to. But, you know,
just, it's a never ending cycle.
Yeah. Always something to do or something comes up. And it's like, I always make a plan. And I know, you know, for the past few years, I always pretty much take the big portion of December off and I never get anything accomplished. I know it's not going to happen because either my wife's going to want me to do something or I just go down a rabbit hole on something else. And the rabbit hole this year was the bamboo printers. So, yeah.
Well, if it works out for you, I mean, you definitely print enough stuff.
Yeah. It's fun. I like it. You know, but I got so much, like I'm undergoing an office renovation right now. Well, what I call. So I'm trying to get more organized as some of y'all have probably seen, you know, I built the 3D cabinet and I have the desk that I'm trying to finish. And I think now that I'm under pressure, probably because this is my last week, I'll probably end up trying to knock that out, at least get the desk in here so that I can move all this stuff here. And I want to redo everything that's sitting here in front of me just to kind of better organize everything and finish. Because when I first built this office, you know, it was one of those things I wanted to get stuff in here, but I'll finish that later. And it never got finished, you know, one of those things. So now I'm going to try to finish it properly. And now that I've lived in here for a little bit, I kind of know what works and what doesn't. So that's why I'm doing everything. Some people probably think I'm crazy because I just did it about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I'm already ripping it apart and redoing it. But you know how that goes. Never.
It's all part of the journey.
Yeah. It never, which, you know, I'm kind of glad I didn't go gung-ho inside the shop, because that was my plan, is to finish the shop out. Once I got the office built, I could put the laser in here, get it out of the crate, and then I was just going to kind of just sit back and take care of the shop and get all the equipment set up. And I didn't, because, you know, life always has its tendencies to come in, and you got to do your job, your regular job, or at least for myself. And now that I've had time, I've done certain things in there, but I'm already wanting to change it, because I can see that there's going to be some issues with flow, and I don't have to do this. This is a hobby kind of per se. So it's not like I'm under the gun to get it done, but I know some people are, you know, I get some messages. Are you ever going to get that done? Maybe, maybe not.
But yeah, I know the feeling. I'm in the same boat with my shop. Like, my shop is small, like it's 12 by 12. And I started out with, I put the anvil. I've talked about this a bunch, but it put the anvil in the center. I've kind of had to deal with it since then. Some days I'm like, maybe I should pull the thing up out of the ground. And then other days I'm like, nah, this thing works. It helps the anvil work a little bit better for you if it's that solid. So just every now and again, when you're walking around the shop and you walk into the horn of the anvil and it doesn't move, you kind of swear a little.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just decided to take over a closet in my basement for my laser room and podcast studio, quote unquote. And I was like, oh yeah, I could do that in a weekend. And I basically got nowhere all weekend. It feels like, I mean, I got a lot done, but it's not usable yet. So that's
funny, because when we built this barn, I told my wife, you know, should we contract somebody out to build this apartment and just get it done so it's done? And then I started thinking about it. I said, I'll do it. I can do it. She said, well, how long do you think it'll take you? I said, probably about, you know, 4 or 5 months. I can get it done working on the weekends and whatever spare time I got. So she said, okay, so about 2 years, huh? And I'm like, come on.
Smart, she knows me. Smart woman.
And it actually got completed holiday before. So I was put under the gun because my brother-in-law, her brother was coming in from up there in y'all's area. He was coming down for the holidays, and she's like, you better get it done, 'cause his family's staying there, you know? And I'm like, okay. So, you know, it kind of grew. It started off as just a place for people just to sleep. And then it turned into a full blown house in there by the time it was said and done, once she got involved. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things, and just, it was a lot of work, but we got it done. It was fun. My boys didn't like me because I had them out here all the time doing it, but they learned some stuff, you know.
So
you got yourself one of those burn dominiums then.
Yeah. That's that's where my son's occupying it right now. But when we have, like, if family comes in, he's got to make room. I mean, there's a spare bedroom in there for somebody to stay if they need to. But yeah, it was fun though. But it did take about a year and a half to finally do it. And I was like, you're pretty close. You're pretty close.
You know, what's funny about that is just this weekend, we got a package. Probably just this past week, we got a package in the house. But 5 years ago when we moved in to our house, my wife's like, oh, can you make a coffee table? I'm like, sure. Just tell me what you want. And every day it was like something else, you know, like every couple of weeks. I'm like, all right, when you decide on one, I'll build it. I'm not going to build one and I have to build another. And over the 5 years, I've made like, I don't know, 5 coffee tables for other people and a bunch of other stuff. And it's just never on my mind, because we had a coffee table, just wasn't what she wanted. And just this week, a coffee table arrived in the mail. So now we have a new coffee table.
She got tired of waiting on you, huh?
Yeah.
That's funny. I actually started looking at that birch cookie that I have in the basement here that is supposed to turn into a coffee table. So that might be a winter project.
Oh, it was only in October that she said, oh, this is what I want. And I went and bought the wood for it. And I can't do anything because it's too cold. It needs epoxy. So, oh, well, what can you do?
Yeah. My wife's gotten to where she's like, can you make this? And I'm like, I can.
Yeah.
But just order
it. Just buy it.
Just buy it. Yeah. It's easier. There won't be no bickering or anything, you know, just get it. So
I fight with a lot of that. Like I want to build end tables for my living room, like on the sides of the couch, but I don't know what design I want. So as opposed to just building one and living with that, I'm dealing with real crappy coffee or end tables that I don't know. I guess you just have to build one and see if it works and then just rebuild it later. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's always the struggle, I guess, when you do something that sits there for a while and then, we're going to have to redo it and spend money again. And just sometimes it's just better. Just go shopping and find what you really, really like and we'll be good.
Yeah. That's, well, I mean, I want to build once, cry once, right? It's almost like buy once, cry once.
Mm-hmm.
I try and do that now. So I want to build once, cry once. And if I can't decide what I want to build, then I'm just not going to build anything. So
there you go. There you go.
Just go buy it.
Yeah. It's always the easiest thing. I tell her just like the holiday she came out. She's like, I know you could probably do this. It was a neon sign. I said, sure, I can easily do it. But I got a lot of other stuff that I need to do. And I said, how much is that? And she told me, I said, just buy it. I said, because by the time I go down a rabbit hole, I'm going to be in it for probably $300 to get all the stuff I need. It's not even worth it. It's $50. Yeah, buy it. Buy it.
Yeah, so I had one of those projects this weekend. She's been kind of like bugging and hinting around that we need a new dining room table because all the chairs, she reupholstered them. And then when she put them back together, she did strip the screws out of it. Mm-hmm. So I ended up like they're number eights and I put number tens in and they seem to bite real good. So hopefully that'll get her off my back of buying a new chairs and new table here for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife is, she created this monster back in the day. Cause she, one of those things, you know, probably like most people out there, females will get on Pinterest and they start seeing all these things. And it's like, can you build this? I said, sure, I can build it, but I'm going to need some tools to do that. So she's gotten real good at asking now when it's something like that. She said, first of all, can you build this? And are we going to need to buy any tools to do it? And I'm like, well, it depends, you know, so it's always, she's gotten to know me really well. It's like, I can't do that without this tool. I got to have it, you know, so what do you want me to do? And,
it doesn't matter what the project is. Any maker is going to find a reason to buy another tool.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Or upgrade a tool or something. There's always justification when there's a new project.
Yeah. Always. Especially in mine. Now she's like, she'll look at all the stuff that I've gotten. She'll come through every once in a while, you know, and she'll kind of just start looking around. And I've gotten real good because there's some stuff that, you know, sometimes you just got to slip it under the table. And I know I'm telling you my secrets because she's not listening on our podcast. She's in the chat. She knows. And so gotten real good at hiding certain things. And she walked through here the other day and she's like, are you going to need any more 3D printers? And I'm like, yeah, probably. You know, I said, I got to replace all the old ones now. You know, that's a must now with these newer ones. And she just rolled her eyes and walked out the door, just back in the house. But no, she's funny. But she's a trooper. She doesn't give me too much heck. You know, she's allowed me to do this, but she knows she created the monster back in the day. And it's a mess to this stuff now.
It's fun though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially when we can get you all riled up on this stuff.
What are you going to try with today, Joey?
I'm going to leave it alone. I had my fun last night and
listen, I'm ready. I'm in the hot seat. I got my whiskey all set. I'm ready to go, Joey.
I know you are. I'm just not going to entertain it. I'm just going to leave it
alone.
All
you got to do is light that match.
I'm just going to leave that match unlit and in the box tonight.
Well, we've already. Eddie's got the angry. He's in the angry chair now. back.
Yeah, I'm in the angry chair.
Where he started podcasting from.
I got the I got the blood of pumping in Keith veins last night.
I forget what it was.
I'm not going to say it. You're not going to pull it out of me.
Come on, Joey. Refresh my memory. I was drinking a little bit last night.
Yeah. It got to where he walked back to the mic and then come back again. It was funny.
I did. Yeah. Had to shut you crybabies up. That's what had to happen.
Oh, you just see it.
It was funny. That was funny. But yeah. So anyhow, we'll leave that stone unturned tonight.
Why? It's fun.
Huh? No.
It's you guys that get upset, not me.
I'm not upset. I still like to poke the bear though. It's fun. Why not? It does not bother me one bit. I'm not one to get offended by that stuff. It's just like, okay.
All right.
Still not gonna get it out of me.
There's plenty of time left. We're only about 15 minutes in.
I know. You'll get me to eventually say it, or I'll slip up and it's gonna come out. I know.
It's gonna come out. So how are you liking the new bamboo? Since we're on the subject.
Oh, they're great. They're great. Go ahead.
I got a question for it, but go ahead.
The functionality, the ease, I don't have to do anything. Like on my old printers, there's a process you got to go through. I know what you're doing. I know. And and I'm walking right into it. You're good.
Leading you down the garden path.
Yeah. You're good. You're good.
So tell me more. No, tell me more. Yeah. I'm interested. Tell me about it. Tell me
more. It's kind of prove your point.
Tell me all about it.
Yeah. You know, so the old printers, there's a lot of manual labor involved to get it set up, and that does require
No, it doesn't. But I do have a question, just so I don't have to put you in a bad spot. You built those cubby holes. If you don't follow Joey, he made like a cubby hole, right? Wall of cubby holes is how you would describe
pretty much.
That. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have all different printers in them. How big would you want your space around a 3D printer?
I mean, I guess that's really a personal preference. I mean, those there are 24 by 24 square all the way, and I think they're depending on like those bed slingers, you need to extend the bed all the way back. So like if it's going in its home position to make sure the bed doesn't hit, and especially if you're printing on the full plate, that bed's going to slide real far back because your print head stays pretty much centered in the machine. So that's really the only thing that you got to pay attention when you're building those and doing your measurements. Cause I think those are, I want to say right at 26 inches deep to allow enough room. So other than that, I mean, if you're trying to get like heat wise or whatever, I mean, they're going to produce some heat, but not enough. I guess in a way, cause like in the bamboos, I'm printing PLA and the door's closed and PLA doesn't like a whole lot of heat. So you got to kind of be careful when people will say, prop the door open. I yet have had a bad experience. I hadn't had any bad experience with it getting too hot inside that chamber with the door closed on PLA. The old printers, they were in an old steel, you know, kind of like a warehouse rack, and I keep the air conditioner running and I never had an issue with it. But I mean, really and truly, the sizes were made to the old printers because I hadn't bought a bamboo yet.
Right.
So that's how I configured that design. And those are pretty good size printers. So I know that the bamboos fit in there perfect. They're actually maybe a little, as far as the depth wise, it's too big, but the width, it's perfect. You know,
the printer's too big?
No, the printers are smaller.
Oh, you were talking about the cubby hole's too big for those.
The cubby hole's too big, yeah.
Problem to have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a big deal. If I could come up with a way, because right now I have that third printer and it's got AMS, it won't fit inside the cubby, right? Because the AMS is a lot taller. So I'm trying to figure out a way to mount the AMS on top and just drill through the top. I don't really want to, but that is going to be the only way that I can put them, put the bamboos in there and just put the AMS on top and just let it sit on top.
For the non-3D printers, the AMS is the automatic material switcher, right?
Yeah, the multicolor part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on the 3D printer, you can put up to 4 spools on there. So you would put that on the top of your cabinet and run it down through a hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just, it has just a PTFE tube. It's what the filament runs inside of. And then there's a cable that plugs into the back of the printer and plugs into the AMS. That's what signals it and what to do and when not to do, you know? So
my thing is, because eventually I'm going to get one of these machines. And I'm just wondering, like, how much space I need to dedicate to it, like, getting around it, because you always hear people crying about having to maintenance it and all that stuff.
Yeah, the only thing about those is if you don't get AMS, the spool holder's in the back, okay? And that is a little problem because, like in those cubicles, you got to actually twist the printer to the side or move it over so you get your hand behind there and remove the spool, and then also the actual entrance for the filaments on the back. So you got to kind of feel around and hit the hole right with the filament to get it down in there.
So well, in your situation, that's an easy fix. Just put them on drawer slides.
Yeah, you could. I mean, just that's
pull them right out of the
actually,
cubby.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. And if you're not using AMS, it'd be fine. If you're using AMS, then really you just need access to the AMS, right? So that would be up top. But that's a good idea. I never even thought about that. And I got some perfect drawer slides for that. I could actually build some things
to
let
them pull out. Extension though for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just to get to that. Cause that'd be
full extension.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have some out there.
I know you do. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea, Keith. Thanks.
I'm full of good ideas.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. I got to give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of skill to have these ideas.
He seems to be the one that can't let it go, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, just busting balls now.
Yeah. He's hanging on to it.
Tony's just over there quiet. He's like, not even going to get into it.
Wow. Oh, I let him dig the hole once. I'm going to let him keep going. Keep going if he wants.
Listen, the holes are already been dug. I didn't dig it. I just pointed it out.
Oh, I did. We were talking about it leading into the podcast there tonight. I was like, man, it's kind of funny because we had that conversation about skill versus whatever. And then we both ended up having 3D printer projects in the last couple months.
Yeah. I ordered mine from Joey.
Yeah. And I just had a guy at work printed out six belt holders from
House.
So
housemade.us.
Yeah. So they came out really nice. I gotta hang them now.
Yeah, I need to get a few of those.
Yeah, they're great.
I had some. AJ from Crafted and NJ made me some, and then I wound up giving them to Austin.
Oh, okay.
I owned them for all about 2 hours, and Austin saw them. I was like, yeah, you can have them. I can get more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but going back, it's I don't know what this actually – the size is not. If you're going to build a cabinet for it, are you going to get one of these enclosed ones? Or which type are you going to get? Yeah, I don't –
If I'm going to do it, I'm gonna go all in.
There you go.
I'm going to buy the cheapest one they have. No, it's not a matter of building an enclosure for it. I just, I would put it back there in that closet I'm going to be working in soon. And I just wanted to know how much room it would take up. Like, is it even worth it? Like, every time I see them, people are accessing them from all sides, and it sounds like they're all like walking around it like it's a space age thing that they have to maintenance and lube up all the time, like an old school steam machine, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, it's 2023. I don't want that. But how much room do I really need? Like, the printer size is this big, but then every day I got to get to the back, or every day I got to get to the side. So then it increases how big it is, you know, how big of an area it needs. That's what I was wondering.
Well, you got a good idea if you're going to build some sort of a cabinet and maybe a storage underneath for your filament and whatnot, then just put it on slides where you can bring it out. That's a good idea. Yeah. I really like that idea, because sometimes you'll need to access the top. If you're going to, something goes wrong, you need to get to the printer head. So they're on these P1S's, X1 carbon, the P1P's just open, but they have a glass lid on top that just, you just lift it off and you have access to everything. It's right there. So it's probably best if you put it on slide, so you can just slide it out. You can still stay compact, but you have that option to pull it out and get to the back to switch reels or whatever, you know? So, I don't know exactly. I want to say, I think they're like 17 or 18 by 18. But the physical dimensions are 389 by 389 by 458 millimeters, whatever that comes out to. They don't give you any, they don't inches. Give you freedom measurements here.
Why would they?
You know, so
there's conversion tools.
Joey, if you have the right knowledge, you can figure that out. Tony is getting so angry.
Sorry, Tony. Sorry.
Oh no, I'm good. I'm writing down title ideas at this point. So that's,
oh my God,
that's what I do as the show goes. As the show goes, I'm usually like jotting down. I got a little notebook in front of me here, and it's got, from each show, there's usually three or four different ones. Then Keith makes up his own. So,
yeah. Did you say it was 339?
389 by 389 squared. And then the height is 458.
So 15 by 15.
Okay.
So not big. And I guess it needs air around it, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, it has fans, exhaust and stuff in it. It's got a carbon filter.
So it needs air around it, right?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have.
It's not everything comes in and out from the front. There's not an inlet and exhaust all from the same side, right?
Yeah, right. Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
It's not like an in-the-wall oven where everything can come out.
Yeah,
go in. Yeah, all right.
As long as you leave a little room around it, you'd be fine. I mean, you just don't want to put it and enclosed in something else, because it's already enclosed, because then it's going to get real freaking hot. So you need to allow a little airflow around it. Cause those things put out some heat. I can tell you, when I got them all running, it's pretty warm in here.
I bet.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the things you make with these machines, Joey.
Well,
what do you make?
Thanks to you, we came out with some different style of battery holders for the Milwaukee, M18, M12 line. And we did do the DeWalt, those, and I do some track saw holders. Those are my biggest sellers, are the track saw holders, the track saw track holders.
I bet. That's genius.
So that I got another one that I want to come out with, instead of going horizontal, going vertical. Cause you know, some of those get,
pretty long.
Yeah. And it just, doing them horizontal just takes up a lot of real estate. It's better, in my opinion, if you have the wall space, to go vertical with them. Cause then you're talking about 8 inches wide on each one, you know, max, whatever it would take, you know. And so it's not like,
cool.
Go ahead. Oh, here we go.
If you made what? Listen, I come up with good ideas for you, Joey. The DeWalkie was number one.
There you go.
But if you make it vertical, where you can just go up and grab it like a card, so it sticks out, so you can put like three next to each other and only take up that 8 inches out from the wall and only 3 inches along the wall. So you can put it, like if you have a crowded shop, you can put it in between two tools, just reach in and pull it off the wall that way.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. See, I'm an idea guy, Joey. Maybe we should pull that off of here so the millions of people that listen to our podcast don't steal that.
Millions.
that's not a bad idea. I like that. I really do. That'd be super simple to come up with there. That's actually a...
Don't act so surprised that I come up with good ideas, Joey. That's the third product I've given you in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I tell you.
So Do you also make battery holders for the homeowner type tools?
For the
Ryobi?
Oh, that type. Oh, I wasn't planning on doing that one. Their battery is just, they're kind of like in the, man, I don't want to knock them, but they're like in the Stone Ages with that. Their batteries still have that neck on them, right?
Yeah. Well, the reason for that is that you can still run, if you have an old blue Ryobi, it'll run on the new battery. So they've had consistency from the very beginning of their 18 volts till today.
Well, you know, I could always use the Keith inspired one and do it like that to where they just slide in, you know?
Yeah.
Be super simple.
I don't like the clips, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you made me aware of that, Keith.
So on these, yeah, I have. On these battery holders that people make or that you can buy from Joey Steelblade on Etsy. What's your Etsy name?
Handle? Steelblade Woodworks.
Steelblade Woodworks on Etsy. But you can buy them, and a lot of guys, not just you, they all make them just like on the tool where it clips in and you have to press the buttons to pull it off. And I get for a lot of battery holder buyers that may work, but if you're an in-the-shop buyer, you don't need the clip on the mount. It's going to be on the wall. If it falls off, you're in an earthquake, and the last thing you need to worry about is if your battery fell out of your holder, right?
Well maybe we should say Keith's World.
Well, only,
I mean,
it
I'm
works
not
if
in,
you're in a trailer. If you have
yeah,
a,
if you're in
like
a trailer or a work
trailer.
Van, yeah, then you need it. But for the homeowner, I don't need it. And then it's just one more thing I have to do every time I go to grab a battery. Like, I buy these things at a convenience. I could just put them in a drawer, but I want them right where they're at, and I want to be able to grab them quick. Not that that split second's a problem, but sometimes it's a pain in the ass to have to squeeze it. You got something else in your hand when you're going to grab it or something. So I just cut them off.
Yeah, there you go. I actually made the printed one of the ones off that I shot you a picture of last night. And it works now. The screws go in and out with no obstruction in it. So
nice.
I'll start making these instead.
Bug testing. That's what that was.
Yeah, I should have done that before I put them out, but they'll still work. I'll get rid of those and just start implementing these into it, the revision. I'm not going to chunk all those, and I may use some of them for my own use, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead, Tony.
No. I use with the Ryobi ones, I have one of the 6-bank chargers. I have 6 batteries, and that's all I like for me, 6 batteries. I mean, even when we were doing the flooring upstairs, and I was running a shop vac, a saw, a multi-tool, they had 3 or 4 things going, and some of them were pretty high demand. And with 4 amp hour, I have 4 4-amp-hour batteries, and I never ran into a time where I needed more than that. So, but that 6 charger is a godsend for me as a homeowner. Like, I don't need 10 or 12 batteries hanging around the house.
I wish.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to totally knock. Go ahead.
Does Milwaukee have that?
I think they do have a multi-charger like that, if I'm not mistaken. I believe they do. So
the Ryobi one is it's a 6-bank, but it charges a single battery at a time, and it just works through as you plug them in. It'll charge them as you need them, or as it gets them and charges them in order, kind of thing. But you always end up with, so I've got 4 4-amp and 2 of the 2-amp that came with the drill driver set. And then I have a fast charger too that came with the drill driver set. But ever since then, I haven't had to buy another charger. So it's been pretty good. And I've never run out of battery power doing decks and flooring and stuff like that around the house. So I could see
on the job site.
On a job site, I would definitely have probably 2 of those chargers at least.
Well, let's hope you're not using Ryobi on the job site.
Well, if it works, it works.
I won't totally knock them. I do have some stuff. I have that that finished nailer, and I like it. The first thing I bought from them when we were building this apartment, you know, you have those slap staplers, and like when I was doing the insulation, the batted insulation, I was using one of those, and I think it probably like on the third or fourth time I slapped my finger with that thing, one of them, the staple actually went through the tip of my fingernail. I chunked that thing across the shop and I jumped in my truck and I went and bought that Ryobi stapler. And I bought a battery with it. And then from there, I bought that finish nailer. And that finish nailer is pretty sweet. I like it. I use the heck out of it.
Yeah. So I have the, let's say, an 18 gauge.
Mm-hmm.
I have that. I find it pretty good too. The biggest thing for me was like for most of what I do, like in my hobby stuff with the smithing stuff, I don't need Ryobi tools in my shop. I don't need battery tools in the shop. Everything's corded. And then, yeah, it just works better here because when I go to buy something now, it's $100 for a different tool. Like if I need a finish, like a trim router, I think they're about $100, maybe 150. If I go to buy the same thing in red or yellow, it's a lot more money. And as just strictly a homeowner and kind of tinkerer, it makes a lot more sense. It's cost effective for me anyways. Because even if I use it once and it burns up, it's whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Ryobi stuff. I have a power washer, leaf blower, the old gas leaf blower.
They have a gas leaf blower?
They did when I bought it.
I think everything in that stuff is going battery now.
I don't know how old it is, but it runs like a top still. I've only ever put True Fuel in it, but yeah.
I've been wanting to get one of those blowers. I have an Echo gas blower, but that thing is, I want one of those battery operated. I mean, I've got plenty of different platforms. I just need to choose one, but I didn't pick one up this year just to blow stuff, like blow off the tools after you're using them or whatever. That, you know, any kind of little residue that's up there.
Yeah, I have the Milwaukee in battery. I have the big one and like the little one like for the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one you can use like for leaves, which when you have a pile of leaves, it's not that great. It doesn't beat the gas one. But like all summer long, I'll go out around the pool and I'll blow off around the pool with the battery, like the big M18, like the big one. But I also have like the mini one for the shop and that one's great.
And
like if you're working, it gets a little dusty. You can push the dust out the doors.
Yeah,
every now and then you got to get out the big one and blow all the dust out.
That's usually what I'll do when I do actually do some sort of woodworking out there. I just open the big bay doors and out it goes, blow everything off. We don't have any leaf problems down here in Texas. We barely have any trees, you know. So that's a northern thing.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah,
come on up and experience it every now and then. Trees are good.
I got a huge maple don't do in so the much air. Woodworking.
Sorry, Tony. I mean to talk over.
No, no. I got a huge maple in the yard here too. So it's I need to get a. I've got corded ones, but I just find them such a pain because you have to drag around 100 feet of cable to do anything. So I have the Echo mower and string trimmer, and they work pretty good. So my next purchase is probably going to be the blower.
I have the Milwaukee string trimmer. I love it.
You remember just having back in the day when I was young, had to weed eat everything with a cord, dragging a long extension cord around the yard.
So it wasn't even that. My first string trimmer was corded, and it was one of those little ones. Like it was like the length of a cane. It wasn't really long. It was like you just hold it out in front of you, and it was I was like, oh, it should be fine. I'm just doing a little bit around the house, and I did use it, but man, oh man, was it ever wimpy too? Like it had a real light cord on it, and it would just run into a stiff dandelion, and it would just completely disintegrate. So. But this new battery one actually is pretty good. It runs a pretty heavy cord, and I've been really happy with it.
Yeah,
I still have my old gas one, and I never use it. I should just throw it away.
Yeah, one of the guys at work was giving me a hard time. He's like, "You realize you work at an oil refinery, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." Well, you should be burning oil. I was like, man, I am not. Like for the amount I run those small engines, it doesn't make any sense to me. I replace a battery every couple of years, it's $200 or $300, it's whatever. And it's a lot less friggin' and a lot less rigmarole than trying to clean out a carburetor, clean the varnish out of a gas tank, or change the oil in the new four strokes. It's just like, oh. Or
I'll tell you what, I
crank
switched
on those things.
I switched to that True Fuel a few years ago, and that's all I run in that stuff.
Made
like
a difference.
Pre-mixed, no ethanol. I've never stabilized something in the winter. I've never had to clean out a carb, nothing. I just run that stuff in. I pay a little more, but it runs. It starts one pull every time.
That was always my issue with it, was that, like, when I get, like, grab a chainsaw and try and you crank, and it's just like, you just feel the red just rolling up from up your neck and just getting right there, just getting mad as hell because the thing won't start. And then it gets flooded, and then you really got to get creative with how to get it started. So it's good times.
Yeah, those are always a pain, you know.
I just like throwing the battery on and going trigger pull done.
Oh, it's definitely nice.
Yeah, the worst part about it now, I think it's an Echo or is it a Steel weed eater that we have, but now you just pass the string straight through the bottom part. You just cut, you know what, 3 foot and divide it up. You pass it through the deal at the bottom, and then you turn a knob and it's a ratchet and it just winds it up for you. That's the best thing ever. Yeah, you don't have to take that dang thing off and wind each side individually. Oh, this thing is nice.
I have one on my old gas one where you would cut it to length and just run it through and it would lock in. Like it goes one way,
mm-hmm.
and you run it through. So you have to cut it like to whatever length you're going to use. So I would just go through. I'd buy a roll and I'd cut them all, and then I'd grab a handful when I was going to go out to weed whack and throw in a new one. That was my favorite one. But Milwaukee one I have doesn't have the adapter for it. So I have to do the old school, wind it up, and then put it back in there with the spring.
Oh yeah, those things are, they'll make you cuss, especially after you spool it and you knock it out and it doesn't want to send any more out and you're stopping and redoing it again. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I did invest in some good stuff. I went and bought some steel. Like we do cut like some firewood and stuff. So I got a chainsaw and I also got a tree trimmer.
Where do you get that firewood? I thought you didn't have trees.
We got a few. We got some mesquites. They're just small. They don't get very tall. But yeah, I don't know why I have the stuff. I just went and got it, and I was just tired of messing with, you know, you tend to get some of the cheaper things, and like Tony said, they won't start and always having problems. And that steel stuff, it's just pull it, and it starts right up.
Yeah, I have a gas chainsaw here that Dad gave me. And I bet you it's been 4 or 5 years since I've ran it. So I don't know. I don't know what I got once I go to, if I ever have to use it. So my plan is if I ever find I have a project that needs a saw, it's going to be just go buy an electric saw for the amount that I use it. If I haven't run a saw in 4 or 5 years, then there's no sense in spending the money or spending the time on, you know, tuning and getting that machine up and running.
Yeah. I mean, I always try to put a stabilizer, you know, on those, I usually just run them out. If I don't use everything, I'll, you know, either probably just pour, we got plenty of fire ant piles, just pour it on. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but just pour it out, let it run out. But I have one of those big log splitters. Again, I don't know why the heck I bought it, but we did have a lot of firewood to split, and I was like, I tried one of those smaller, cheaper ones, and they just have enough power. So I went down to Tractor Supply, and I bought one of those. I was like 22-ton gasoline log splitters. That was the best thing ever, man. We chopped, I want to say 3 years ago, we chopped a big old mesquite tree that came off the old farm. That thing was massive. It was a sin to chop it up like that, because I just kept thinking, man, all the nice things I could make off of that if I had a sawmill, you know, or had access to one, because that trunk was massive. You don't get those very often. But we chopped it up into firewood, and I'm just now starting to run out of it. But yeah, that thing, man, we chopped a whole trailer of that stuff in no time. That thing's nice to have. But I like my uncles or, you know, somebody asks if they need to use it. Yeah, come get it because I don't use it enough, but it's nice.
Yeah, I find that way with a lot of those tools. Like I have a chipper I loaned out to a guy, I think 4 years ago. I still haven't gotten it back.
Really?
But I haven't needed it either. So it's one of those things.
As long as you know where it went. Right.
I go to his house every now and then and he's like, I still got that chipper. I'm like, I didn't bring the truck today. We're good. He's like, that's your truck. I'm like, I didn't bring the truck today. We're
good. Just keep it here. It's fine. Yeah. I don't need to figure out where to put it.
A little longer.
Yeah.
He's got a big barn like you. I got a one car garage that's full of stuff.
Yeah. We got a barn beside this. We actually got two more barns that I don't think maybe some people have just seen the small one, but they haven't seen the larger one that's behind this one. And those things are packed full of stuff. My wife was like, we need to have a garage sale. I said, sure, we can get rid of a bunch of stuff in there that we don't use. I'm starting to get to the point if it's not in this shop, there's a few items in there that I do want to keep. But other than that, it just needs to go because it's just, I'm never going to use it. And it's just sitting in there deteriorating. So just let it go. Let somebody else use it. Cause yeah, we need to make some room and offload some stuff.
Yeah. I've been in that same boat with, when we like my basement, well here in Canada, we have basements. Like you might not have them in Texas.
No, sir, we don't.
But yeah, it's a part of your house that's below the main living space. Anyways, so for us, it's basically storage. Like there's laundry down here and a couple other things, but basically it's all storage. And we've gotten to the point where it's like, I haven't touched anything that's in this basement in years. Like, do I really need it? Like there's like, if I'm not using it now, when am I ever going to use it again? So we're slowly picking away every spring of like starting to clean stuff out and just be like, yeah, I'm not using this. I haven't used it in so many years and I really don't see a need for it. And if I do need it again, well, hardware stores got all kinds depending on what it is. I mean, it's a high dollar item. I usually hang on to it.
Yeah. There's a bunch of nuts and bolts and stuff that, you know, it's all stored in shelving and stuff. That kind of stuff I'll keep, but there is some bigger stuff. So like when we did the ranching deal, so we used to do drag racing a long time ago. So I acquired some welders and then when my dad passed away, he left me up. My dad was a fabricator. And he did that's what he did for most of his life before he used to run a foundry, right? So it's funny when I hear, like I heard one of y'all's podcasts when they were talking about those guys, they were pouring iron, right? Or what was it called?
Smelt Team 6.
Yeah. So yeah. At a young age back in the day, I was kind of introduced to that because I used to go with him during the summer when I was not in school. And it's funny now to think back and think about that stuff. Nowadays you wouldn't dare be able to enter into one of those places like that because it was a pretty good sized place. So I got to see the molding taking place. I got to see the iron getting melted and poured and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Right. So when they shut that foundry down, he worked there, he retired from there and then went on to doing his welding and stuff. And so I got a lot of that stuff too. And I acquired my own. So I've got two MIG welders in that other deal. I got some cutting torches. I got a full blown gasoline welder on a trailer outside that was his, fully decked out, and that I won't get rid of. But you know, I have all that stuff. I just never really. If I need to weld something, I can do it. I know how to do it, but that's just not my cup of tea. Put it that way. So I got a lot of stuff out there that can go down the road. I'll probably just keep one MIG welder and sell everything else and just get rid of it. So, yeah, I know some of the stuff when y'all talk about it. I've been around it all my life. So it's pretty neat.
I love welding, but I'm just not. I went down the woodworking rabbit hole, so I'm not really set up for it. So I got to do it outside all the time. So it's a hassle. but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. I mean, even if I wanted to do it, like, I may leave a little space in the corner if I need to do something, or leave it to where I can roll it out the door and do it outside, because I won't dare doing it in here, you know. I'd be scared to light something on fire, you know. Yeah.
I didn't clean up that pile of dust, and now it's on fire.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's and it's just for little stuff. I've got some stuff that I got to build for our outdoor chimney, and I've been procrastinating that for a while. I wanted to do one of those lift grills. When I had them built, they actually added that part in there, and I just got to build the frame out of angle iron. I forgot what the proper term is, but it's a grill that lifts with the crank, so you can lift your cooking height. You're going right down the right path there. I forgot what it's, something like that. Yep.
Yeah, I had someone come up to me and ask me to build them one time. I forget what it is now, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I got to do that eventually to finish. That's kind of the last thing I need to do to finish that out. I just never have gotten to it. One of these days. So right now, just to catch all, store some wood in there or whatever on top for right now. So, but yeah, that's kind of my extent. Back in the day, I did a little welding when my wife had her boutique. We would do some, the craziest thing, horseshoes. It was a big thing back in like the 2010, in that time. A lot of crosses made out of horseshoes, racks. Heck, they even used old rakes. It's the Pinterest dive she took. These old metal rakes, and I'd turn on the lathe, I'd turn a spindle, and you'd put the rake inside that spindle, so the head of the rake that would go in the handle, you just holler out a hole in the middle and put that rake down in there, and they'd use that rake. The women would use it to hang their jewelry, like their necklaces and stuff, off the fingers of the rake.
Oh, all
right. Get what I mean? So you just build a pedestal for it to hold it, and those things sold like freaking hotcakes. You wouldn't believe. I was like, really? I mean, we couldn't keep them in stock. They were just selling so much. We were going down to Home Depot and stuff and just buying the rakes just to get rid, just to pull them out of the handles so that we could use them. But yeah, there's a lot of crazy things like that. And I would utilize the welders for that kind of stuff, the big welders for the horseshoe stuff. But after that went away, they just kind of been sitting there unused. Yeah. That was my extent.
So it's a Santa Maria.
There you go.
Never heard of it.
Look it up. They're nice. They get real. Yeah, they get. Yeah.
I've seen the grill. I didn't know it was called a Santa Maria.
Yeah.
Is there a Nina and a Pinta too?
Is there a what?
A Nina and a Pinta? The Santa Maria. Right over the head of the Canadian.
There you go.
No, it did not. It did not. You had to just say it again. I got it. And he didn't land in America, just so you know.
Where did he land?
Oh, somewhere in like the Bahamas. Somewhere south there.
Well,
isn't that considered North America, though?
Yeah, but you guys, it's always America, so you never talk about North America.
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 Pew, pew. Tony, how about we thank those patrons?
All right. No, we like these people. Just like to make fun. Well, maybe not the first guy, but anyway. So we have Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Woodfinery, and our top tier we have Espoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of Maritime Knife Supply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Brian Housewort of Workfort Podcast, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnome Hammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Do Construction, and Daniel and Drizzy. Thank you all.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. It's fantastic. So what else is going on, Joey?
Oh, not a whole, I mean, just getting ready for the holidays, really. I got all the family coming in this coming weekend, I guess you could say. I have a whole house full of individuals.
So you're the go-to house at the Steel Blade family?
Yeah, they're all coming, lots of them. So it's not, I mean, as far as my immediate family, I got two sisters. So one's not going to make it. They had to leave out of town. Her husband had to job up there in y'all's neck of the woods somewhere. I forgot exactly where he's at, but it was kind of like an emergency type deal where he had to head out of town. So they're up there somewhere. I forgot exactly where he's at, but I got my middle sister, my mom, and then niece, nephew, their kids, and of course all the local family. They all just kind of come in and we'll do our Christmas deal and eat and maybe have some adult beverages, and hopefully the Cowboys will win this time.
Unlike today.
Ooh, they got spanked.
Do you do big Christmas Day is when they come, or they come for like a week? What are they?
We try to, you know, cause, they live up in Houston, my sister and her tribe. So we try to make it convenient. And as far as I go too, just depending on when Christmas falls. So usually we'll do Christmas Eve. That's usually when it's convenient for everybody, just to try to get everybody together. Christmas Day is usually when we'll do my family, but it just depends on how it falls and when. But yeah, we usually, Christmas Eve, we're usually cooking a bunch of steaks and whatnot, having a big old party, and that everybody comes in, and cousins, and you know how it goes. Cousins, everybody comes. Some will just drop by for an hour or so, and some will stay longer, you know, but it's a pretty full day of people in and out, and it's fun. Good to see everybody. So yeah, this year,
it's fun
this,
once a year, you know?
Yeah. Once a year. Cause we usually do Thanksgiving too, but this year we're like, nope, ain't gonna happen. Not two times in one year. Just once. You know, cause hosting is a lot of work. Got to make a lot of running around, got to get a lot of things prepared, and it's a lot of work on my wife, myself, just everybody, you know, cause got to make sure everything's just right. So we're just doing Christmas this year, and that'll be it. Pat them on the butt on the way out and say, see you next year. So, yep.
Do they go home for Christmas, or they spend Christmas with you?
Like,
I'm still unclear, because you said Christmas Eve is when you celebrate.
Yeah, that's...
They spend the night on Christmas Eve?
No. That's,
yeah, they go home.
They
yeah,
go home. That's enough.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's where I got confused. You're like Christmas Eve, and then, you know, that's Christmas. And I'm like, oh, so they stay over or they go home?
No. That's a good enough 8-hour day is plenty. We don't need to go any longer. Yeah. We're like usually like, okay, it just that day and that's it. We sometimes we'll wait for our kids to open, you know, gifts the next day. Just depends, you know, just depends on how everything, you know, work schedule. Cause that's a lot, just trying to figure out, make sure that everybody's around when it happens. So it's getting tougher and tougher.
It's also a big deal what day Christmas lands on, you know, is to see what everyone's work schedule is.
Yeah.
What is it this year? It's on a Monday?
Sunday. Monday.
No,
Monday.
Christmas Eve is a Sunday. Christmas Eve is on a Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So most people don't have off on Tuesday. They're back to work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the bad thing. It's not like Thanksgiving, usually get Thursday, Friday, you know, that's easy to deal with, but Christmas is the one that's a little more difficult because it changes from year to year. So yeah, we kind of plan around it, see when it's going to be convenient. Cause one is getting my nephew down here, and usually his wife, she's got to be back cause she's got to work, you know, not for Christmas, but for Thanksgiving. That's the difficult one because they got to usually work for the Black Friday deal. So it's usually like just here for a little bit. And that's why we just said, just y'all just do y'all's deal up there with no problem. We'll see y'all on Christmas. Be good. So
smart.
Yeah. Too much running around.
Yeah. It gets crazy. If you try and go see everyone,
y'all,
unless you all get together. Yeah.
Y'all doing a deal yourselves there or y'all?
Me, I go every Christmas Eve. My family, like the extended family, we all get together on Christmas Eve and have a party every year. It's been that way as long as I can remember. And it rotates houses. And this year it's at my brother's house, which is only a half hour from me. So that's nice.
Yeah.
But the way we do it is everyone, I guess, brings either a dessert or an appetizer. And there's no meal. There's no stress on who's ever host, and everyone just has to make one thing, and that's it.
No, we're cooking it up, Keith. I mean, it's a full blown meal. It's everything. It's been a tradition.
Yeah, but how many people do you have? 20, right?
Yeah, well, like we're
50 or 60 people.
Yeah, no, we're planning on it. We usually it's about 30. And well, we usually
good size.
We'll usually cook a little extra because sometimes you'll have just somebody just pop on in, you know. So we got to make sure we have enough food for everybody because we usually just do ribeye steaks. So that's kind of been a tradition for a long time. But this year we were like, we're not doing ribeye steaks. We're just doing some like pulled pork type stuff. So that's what we're gonna do. Just something easy to cook. Actually, they're beef roast beef, or not roast beef, but there's long pork pause roast. It's not pork roast, it's a beef roast, so we're just gonna throw them we're just gonna throw them in a cooker.
What are you, the Grinch? Somebody's gonna steal your roast beef.
Roast beast.
Oh, beast. I screwed it up.
So
I don't have the knowledge today.
I have kids.
I watch The Grinch every year.
Do you?
And Die Hard.
Doesn't surprise
Hard.
Me.
Yeah, I watch Die Hard all year. But yes, definitely around Christmas.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
what's
we
your
do.
Favorite Grinch?
Favorite Grinch?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be the original.
There's three of them.
The original cartoon.
Joey?
I've never watched it.
All right, we got to go. Thank you. You can find Joey at Steel Blade Woodworking.
What's the third?
What's your favorite Christmas movie, Joey?
I would have to say I would go with, this is going to start a controversy, but Die Hard, because a lot of people do say that it's not. But, you know, hey, it was always good to watch. What was that old movie?
A Christmas Story?
Yeah, there you go. Ralphie.
Not that old. That's not that old. That's from 84.
That's who I always compare myself to during winter, when you see him all bundled up and can barely walk with all the jackets and stuff on. So when it hits about 60, that's kind of what I look like.
Oh, really?
We don't take too good to the cold down here. Or at least I don't. No.
Tony, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
I don't know. I never really sit down for Christmas movies, so I don't really have one. Although I've been trying to watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation one.
Oh, that's a good one.
But they always put it, when I try and find it, this time of year it's behind a paywall. And then if I want to watch it in the middle of summer, I don't think it is. Like, they keep moving it around.
Yeah, they put Die Hard behind a paywall this year. So I had to break out my DVD player and dust that thing off.
Oh, nice.
I own one DVD.
And that's
it? It's Die Hard. Yeah.
Oh, man. Who was that where he's pumping out the motorhome into the...
Yeah, that's a Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Cousin Eddie.
Well, they
Merry Christmas, shitter's full.
And he's sitting there with that, you know, that hat on and smoking a cigar with the beer in his hand and the robe and everything, right? So I was scrolling through TikTok earlier today, and they made one, and it's a farmer. And you know how they have those manure spreaders. So they're sitting on the side of the road, and this cat is sitting there in that full, I mean, identical. He's sitting there with the beer,
robe.
And he's loading the manure spreader, this big old hose, and it's just pouring into that manure spreader, and they're videoing him from the tractor. It was hilarious. Yeah, it was funny. I got a good laugh out of that one. The things people will do.
So if a Christmas story was made today, what year do you think it would be set in?
If it was made today, probably, I don't know, 90s, early?
No, 78.
78.
Yeah, it would have been 1978 if it was made today. It takes place in 1940, and it came out in 85, so. Maybe it came out in 84, so 79, somewhere in there.
A little after I was kicked out. Long time ago. So what else is upcoming in
Christmas? That's it.
Get over this week. Get ready for the New Year's. Y'all do anything special for that?
No.
I'm working.
Ooh.
I think I'm in that night. So I'm actually. Yeah. I think, so I get to ring in the new year with. Oh, no. I'm on days.
There you go.
Oh, even better.
It's my
swing day. So I go from days to nights, so I don't have to be up and to work till 6 the next day. It actually works out pretty good.
There you go. Yeah, we used to do a big shindig deal, but we don't really do a whole lot. It's getting older.
Yeah, my cousin used to come by, but not anymore. I don't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always up past midnight anyway, so it's not that big a deal, but like it's just another day. Like it's nothing to be excited about.
Yeah, it's usually. Yeah,
we had that conversation today. She said something about a holiday, and I'm like, I don't know, what day is it? This is shift work. If you were to hang on to every holiday, you would drive yourself nuts. So I learned very quickly that it's just better to just think of it as another day, and then you're not as angry about working a holiday.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't bother me anymore. Maybe when I was younger, because. You know, there was parties going on and you wanted to be over there. And if you had to work, yeah, it was a big deal, you know. But we're out here where we're at, man. It's usually pretty good because we get to see the best fireworks show. It's insane just because we could see the little town where I live at and everything around us. We're kind of up on a hill. So at the stroke of midnight, you see that. I mean, the sky lights up. Everybody just sending money up into the air. It's insane. It is insane.
Same thing here.
And then we can always count on the same dog. I don't know what these people think. That last year the dog bit me because they don't put him up. And it's like, really, people, y'all come to our house every year, and it comes from across the field. That poor dog, so terrified. It's insane. I'm like, put your dog up, y'all. It's like become a thing every year. It's
maybe like, give up on the fireworks.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's like, come on. But yeah, that same dog, we can expect it on our back door, and they'll be coming down the road looking for him. And it's like, he's here, you know, he's here because it's the first house he runs to. And it's a pretty good distance across that farm field. But like, put your dog up, people, or don't do that and freak him out. But yeah. But we got a pretty good light show, and that's good enough. I think when we first moved to this house, first New Year's we celebrated here, we had a big old get-together, and then now I told my wife, no more messes. I don't want to have to clean up. That's enough.
Do you watch that New Year's Rockin' Eve?
Yeah, we usually have it on. But that's it just depends. Like last year, I was actually in here. We weren't really doing anything. I was in here doing some stuff, and well, everybody was like in the apartment in there, just back and forth kind of. Once we stroke of midnight, Happy New Year's, everybody, and then let's go to sleep. That was it. You know?
Yeah. We have neighbors that midnight hits, and then you can guarantee within about a minute you hear bang, 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 bang. They've always got fireworks going.
Well, that, and you got to be careful. They were having, and for the life of me, you know, back in the day, they were responsible, but a lot of people like to shoot firearms, in the air down here. I don't know if that's a thing everywhere, but
it's a thing here.
They do that a lot, and it's like, why shoot a shotgun? that bullet's yeah. going to come down somewhere. Actually, at a cousin's house many years ago, it happened. Somebody got hit by a bullet coming back down. Mm-hmm, sure enough. Yeah, and you don't think, you know, it's crazy, but I'm like, yeah. So I just, when that comes around, and just kind of like, just stay under something, because you never know, because of, you know, we're out in the country and they do it, you know, and it's like, yeah, don't be out in the open. It's crazy.
I was that neighbor a couple of years ago with the fireworks, though. I set off about 50 fireworks at midnight.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Just don't do like what we did one year and light the field across the road on fire.
That would suck.
We were. It's just one of those big old cannons that went off, and it. I thought I had enough. I actually put some wood around it to stabilize it, and that thing was so powerful. I saw when it fired off, it actually came off the ground and flipped on its side and just started, before I could get over there, it shot about 3 rounds off into the field. and then I stomped it out, put it out. But that thing was, yeah, that fire department come out and put fires out, and it's voluntary. But those guys already know, because it's always dry down here, even though they tell you don't be doing it. People still do it like I did. And yeah, it was quite exciting that night.
Did you get a little slap on the wrist or no?
They didn't. We all know each other. So it was like, they just laughed. But at the same time, it was like, yeah, I'll never do that again. So we don't do it, because that neighbor, that grass is pretty high now, and they don't mow it or do anything. I tried to keep it mowed down, and he got mad at me because he said he was trying to grow hay, and like, really? It's nothing but...
You got to mow it for it to become hay.
Yeah, it's nothing but scrub brush growing up in there. I'm just trying to keep it nice and keep it away. And yeah, he kind of slapped my hand and said, don't be cutting my grass anymore. No problem. And then he fenced it off so we couldn't do it. And now it's just all ugly and upgrowing over there. So what do you do?
Not much.
No.
All right, kids. Well, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. If you don't listen for next week, Happy New Year.
Yep.
But Merry Christmas, or whatever you celebrate, Happy Holidays, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find Joey, you can find him at
Joey Steelblade.
Is it Joey Steelblade?
On Instagram, but anywhere Steelblade Woodworks, you'll find me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Check out his Etsy. Yeah, no, that's fine. Check out his Etsy page. He's also on the Creative Makers podcast.
Yes, sir. Yep.
With a whole host of other hosts, which is pretty cool. Check them out. They come out every Thursday. And yeah. Anywhere else they can find you, Joey?
Yeah, you can find
YouTube, TikTok.
You can find me on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram.
And OnlyFans.
Yeah.
If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at workinghandspodcast@gmail.com or workinghandspodcast on Instagram. If you aren't a patron and want to become one, you're automatically entered into the Gnome Hammer Monthly Giveaway. So check that out. We're getting close to the end of December here, but we're not quite there. So join in, get in on December's giveaway. And yeah, I think we're going to head on over to the after show. So if you would like to rate, review the show, we'd greatly appreciate it. 5 stars is always appreciated. If you share the show with all your friends, that would be epic. But we haven't had any reviews on Apple in a while. So if you're listening to this on Apple, give us a review. And with that, we're going to head on over to the after show. Later.
Later.
Is there skills required for that?